From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
Welcome to another edition of Capitol Connection. A new study shows that the dislike between Republicans and Democrats is growing. As if you needed a new study to tell you that, but we're going to talk about it and if we will ever see a return to civil political discourse. Omaha Congressman Don Bacon is optimistic in at least talking about it, taking to the House floor last week to call for improved civility and political discussion. I'll play his remarks and what I think about them, as well as a very special guest on the show today I'm excited to have with me, Jonathan Alexander, Director of Public Policy for Liberty Council, one of the leading national organizations working to promote and defend religious liberty. Jonathan Alexander will be with me today to talk about that issue and specifically why sexual orientation and gender identity are not like race. Welcome to Capitol Connection. We're going to tackle that issue head on instead of avoiding it, so you won't want to miss that conversation with Jonathan Alexander, Director of Public Policy for the Liberty Council, coming up later in the program. And of course, I also want to thank sponsor of the show, Walker Tire and Auto Service. Whatever your vehicle needs, Walker Tire in Omaha is here to help take care of you at any one of their four convenient Omaha locations. Walker Tire and Auto Service has been serving Omaha customers for over six decades. When you visit Walker Tire and Auto, be sure to get the Walker Tire Advantage, where you can get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. So for all your vehicle service and maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire in Omaha. So a new study just came out that shows the dislike between Republicans and Democrats is growing quite significantly. This, of course, isn't a surprising finding, but I think still an important finding that we should be talking about. This is a new Pew Research finding that basically boils down to Democratic voter hatred of Republicans and Republican voter hatred of Democrats have both grown from approximately 16% 20 years ago to about 40% today. So the dislike between Republicans and Democrats grew from 16% 20 years ago to now up to 40%, which I'm almost surprised it's not higher in light of our latest election cycle and everything that went on and is continuing to go on right now. But there's really no arguing that the political and partisan divide in our country right now is perhaps as wide as it's ever been. And it's not just that the number of issues that there is agreement on is shrinking, but also just the ability to disagree. And if you're on the opposite side and your policy proposal or solution looks different from the other side, then you're automatically a terrible person. And in fact, will even try and pass laws so that the government can punish you for disagreeing on that issue. And I think this type of bullying generally stems from the left, and certainly the mainstream media's all-out assault on the president and Republican candidates across the country has only heightened the contempt that Democrats and Republicans have for each other today. But the point is, things only appear to be getting worse, and it's a problem. There's no sense of unity or country before party, and it's causing a lot of problems. And this is actually something that George Washington predicted and warned us about all the way back in 1796 in his famous farewell address when he warned against a two-party system and against factions. He talked about the perils and dangers of parties and the divide and consequences that it can have and does have on a nation, and urges the people to avoid them in order to stay true to their values. But I'm hopeful that maybe one thing everyone can agree on is that there should be improved civility in our political discussions and discourse. And this is something I made note of when I saw that our Congressman Don Bacon addressed this very subject matter in Congress just last week, taking to the House floor to call for improved civility and political discussion. And I think it's essential that people are aware of what their representatives are talking about, especially when they're speaking in Congress on the House floor. how they're representing their constituents. And in this case, I think Congressman Bacon really hits the nail on the head. First of all, for just actually having the leadership to talk about this issue rather than putting an even bigger wedge in the political divide right now, trying to bridge that gap and actually start talking about why this matters, why we need improved political discourse so that we can actually have real policy discussions and debates on the issues that matter. And instead of just labeling someone as hateful or a terrible person just for disagreeing with you on an issue. But I believe that when we just defer to ad hominem attacks and insults, instead of having legitimate policy discussions, we all lose. So take a listen to Congressman Don Bacon's remarks from last week, calling for improved civility in political discussion.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to urge my colleagues and fellow citizens to elevate our political discourse in which we participate for the good of our country. Some of what I see in America grieves me. The partisan divide grows more volatile and decency shrinking in our political dialogue. Many on the left continue to say, Mr. Trump is, quote, not my president. And in the past, some on the right have said, Mr. Obama is not my president. Now we have people who think it is comical to be photographed with a depiction of the president's bloodied head. I can only think of real-life intelligence photos I viewed of innocent men and women shortly after their decapitation at the hands of terrorists. Escalating America's political discussion to actions like what Ms. Griffin is guilty of undermines our nation's discourse and weakens the unity of our citizens, and I don't know where it stops. I fear we are pulling apart. The left and right should not hate each other. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. asserted, hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. We must be able to disagree, debate, and then strive together for America. When we pull apart, our nation weakens and our citizens become more vulnerable. I fear that if we continue down this path, the political wedge will be so ugly, it will not be easily repaired. It is this pulling apart that caused us not to pass a defense spending bill on time for almost a decade. Our military leaders have stated we are back to the hollow force of the 1970s due to this congressional malpractice. Our Navy is unable to fly half of their aircraft. The Army only has 3 of their 58 combat brigades fully ready to deploy. And our Air Force pilots fly less hours today than they did during the hollow force years. In other words, the partisan rancor has undermined our nation's defense, and our servicemen and women are paying for this price in readiness. And if North Korea, Russia, or another threat try to take advantage of our weakness, our great warriors will pay with it with their blood. I love our country and our representative democracy. We had our times of extreme divide. At the beginning of our nation's history, there were very aggressive debates between the followers of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, for example. We saw strife during Andrew Jackson's presidency when many of his opponents feared he was going to be America's Napoleon, and we survived those times. But let's not forget the bitter acrimony leading up to the 1860s when we saw physical assaults on the floor of Congress. That divide was only solved after over 600,000 Americans died in the Civil War. Let us debate the issues. I've already held 5 town halls myself to engage in the essential debates to improve our country, and we'll hold more. But when it comes to the vitriol and verbal assaults, let us all take a knee and reflect. Are we taking our nation to a potential precipice of a disaster if we keep turning up the volume of this partisanship? Earlier this year, the congressional freshman class signed a civility pledge. I again pledge civility. But I also implore our nation, to include our media and entertainment, to reflect on the tone and ugliness that we are seeing. Let us rein in the anger and disrespect. I implore our president, our Senate, all of us in the People's House, all of our citizens, let us raise the bar of our debate and treat each other with respect. Let's not again cross the line between criticizing the issues to criticizing the person. I've served in the military next to many great Americans for nearly 30 years. And we all swore to protect and defend every American with our lives, regardless of our party affiliations. In fact, I rarely knew if a person was a Republican or Democrat during my time in the Air Force. But let's not forget, too, that during our history, 1.2 million Americans gave their lives in the defense of this country. They were Democrats, Republicans, Independents. Some had no party at all. Some were Federalists. Some were Whigs. They paid the ultimate price so we could have the privilege of a free and open debate that we enjoy today. They fought and died so our citizens could be the sovereigns of our nation. Let us turn away from the anger. Let's turn away from the outrage upon outrage, away from the character assassinations. Let us turn towards civil debate and contend for ideas and values in a manner pursuant to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When we lose an election, regardless of the party, let's do so gracefully and respect the will of the voters and the Constitution. Let us agree when we agree and respectfully disagree when we disagree. But to resist at all costs on every issue is damaging to our country. Today, some are calling for impeachment of our president. With the facts that we have, it is wrong. And it's putting politics over the well-being of our country. And we are better than this. Let's turn down the volume.
That was Omaha Congressman Don Bacon speaking on the need for improved civility in political discussion on the House floor recently. And a lot of really important points. Needing to be able to agree to disagree. And the fact that there's always been sharp political divides and tensions in our country, going all the way back to the founding. And I spoke a little bit earlier about George Washington's farewell address from 1796, where he warned against the party system and factions. But it's interesting, he also very famously stated in that same address that of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Of all the dispositions which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the decline in religion and rise of secularism has coincided with where we're at today politically. And that's why it's essential that Christians especially are getting more involved and staying engaged in the political process, especially if we ever want to see a return towards a more civil, thoughtful, and enlightened political discourse. But perhaps no issue causes more tension than the conflict between religious freedom and LGBT rights. This month is Gay Pride Month, and last week we saw marches and protests down at the Capitol in Lincoln and in Washington, D.C., as well as across the country. And basically, they all hinge on this idea that this is the civil rights issue of our time, that we have a group of people who are being discriminated against because of who they are. And so basically, what the left has started to do is take existing civil rights laws and add the phrase sexual orientation and gender identity. But instead of stopping real discrimination, these laws are being used to shut down businesses and punish faith-based ministries, nonprofits, hospitals, etc., for not coming on board with this and violating their sincerely held religious beliefs. And really, how the federal law treats racists is how the left wants to treat these businesses and schools and faith-based ministries and nonprofits who believe in traditional marriage. So how should we think about this issue and respond to some of the common arguments that we always hear? Well, thankfully, joining me very shortly on the program is Jonathan Alexander, who is the Director of Public Policy for the Liberty Council, who's going to talk about this issue and why it's different from race. Jonathan is one of the leading voices on this issue and defending religious freedom, and he's got a brilliant mind. I'm fortunate to know him and have him on the program today. And he has just such an important message that more people need to hear because he doesn't apologize for it. And as an African American, he can say things about race that other people can't, and then that the left has to listen to. And then they can't just discredit it and say that, you know, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. We're going to talk about it right here on the show right now. But first, I want to make sure everyone who's listening knows about the great services at Walker Tire and Auto. Only at Walker Tire and Auto can you get a free video vehicle health inspection free with each visit. You can hear from their expert technicians and see for yourself how your vehicle is doing, both good and bad, right from your email or phone. And the next time your vehicle needs new tires, make sure you take it to Walker Tire and Auto, where you can get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. So whatever your vehicle needs, visit Walker Tire in Omaha at one of their 4 convenient locations. Joining me on the program now is a special guest, a friend, and a really important partner in the ongoing fight to preserve and protect religious freedom here in Nebraska and across the country. Jonathan Alexander, the Director of Public Policy for the Liberty Council, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me, Nate.
Jonathan, one of the things that I think you do, and just such an excellent job, better than anyone I've heard talk on the subject of the debate between, you know, LGBT rights and religious freedom, specifically sexual orientation and gender identity laws, is the distinction between racial discrimination, right, and what proponents of these laws are advocating for today. And they make a common argument that this is, you know, what they're fighting for is the same as what African Americans were fighting for during the civil rights movement. And you reject that argument.
Right, absolutely. You hear time and time again, the LGBT agenda clothes themselves in the language of the civil rights movement. You know, it's an effort to convince people to support these measures, and it's also an intimidation tactic. I mean, no one wants to be labeled as a bigot or discriminatory, and so they've basically piggybacked their agenda on the backs of Black Americans that have suffered through slavery, through this Jim Crow era, in order to bring a leg or energy behind their movement. But there are fundamental and striking differences between the two agendas.
Right. And so, you know, one thing that's been happening recently is the debate on bathrooms and, right, and whether or not we should be continuing to separate restrooms and locker rooms according to biological sex, or if someone who chooses to identify as opposite sex has the right to access, you know, just the restroom or locker room that they choose to identify with. And so when we talk about this bathroom issue or bathroom bills, why is separating bathrooms according to biological sex different from when, during the Jim Crow era, we were separating restrooms based on color?
Right. It is true, as you mentioned, that there was a time where some bathrooms in this country were labeled whites only and others were labeled colored. But we as a society rejected that, realizing that there was no legitimate basis for limiting bathroom access on the color, based on the color of someone's skin. And even the United States Supreme Court, recognizing that racial differences are almost never relevant, applies its highest level of scrutiny to governmental distinctions on the basis of race. But they don't do the same thing when it comes to sex, because sex is different. Separating persons on the basis of privacy between sex is constitutional, it's safe, it's reasonable, it's common sense, because we realize that men and women are biologically different in ways that matter.
So what we're seeing and continuing to hear is, you know, activists on the left continuing to sort of hitch their argument on the backs of the civil rights movement, right, and the plight of African Americans. Why is that so intellectually dishonest?
Well, think about it. If we look at our nation's history, the disgraces, the unspeakable hardships faced by Black Americans over the course of our nation's history are unmatched. You know, African Americans were brought here on slave ships, were treated as less than property. We had a Supreme Court decision that rendered an African American less than human. And systemically, through the Jim Crow era, and some would say even till today, African Americans are still suffering under the badges, under the weight of slavery, of being considered less than human. That has never been the case for a male who identifies as a female or a female who identifies as a male. You know, you've never had a transgender water fountain as you had white or colored water fountains. You've never forced a woman who thinks that she's a man to sit in the back of the bus as you had forced Black people to sit in the back of the bus. You know, so folks that are truly suffering from gender dysphoria have not suffered in the same way that African Americans have suffered. There was no behavior or acquiescence that an African American had to do in order to be deemed Black. That's who they were. That's the claim that nature put on African Americans' biology. But that is completely different than what it means for a male to wake up one morning and decide that he's a female, as is the case for the transgender movement and proponents of such legislation.
Right, and you've done a, I think, really courageous thing in calling out the kind of the hypocrisy and double standard that is showing by this, and I wish that more people would, but I think it's a great thing what you're doing. Why is this so important that you would step up and speak out on this issue in order really to I think protect religious freedom and the First Amendment rights of not only individuals but of churches, nonprofits, businesses.
Right. I mean, religious organizations have the ability to hire and fire and allow membership on individuals that believe the same way they do. That's a fundamental tenet of our First Amendment, and that's an underpinning factor of much of the protections that we grant religious organizations. In my instance, there is no action of being black, so there would be no religious opposition based on who I am as a person. However, belief and behavior are critical when it comes to one's sexual orientation, how they decide to act or what they feel, how they decide to express themselves. In the case of a gender, someone suffering from gender identity dysphoria. And in that way, a religious organization that has a fundamental belief, that believes, because of its religious tenets, that nature has made them male and female, shouldn't have to be forced to acquiesce to this belief if it violates their religious underpinnings. It's completely separate when it comes to the approach that religion has towards race or an immutable characteristic. It's completely separate from that and how a religion treats certain behaviors and certain beliefs.
Right, and I know you and I both believe that every person, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity, is deserving to be treated with the utmost dignity and respect.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, the Constitution of the Bill of Rights protects everyone equally,
right?
No matter your sexual orientation, gender identity, national origin, race, et cetera, et cetera. But I think all we're saying is tolerance is a two-way street, isn't it? Shouldn't those who disagree on marriage or other issues, they shouldn't be forced by the government to adhere to a certain belief system.
Right, absolutely not. And what these bills do is create a new civil right and seek to impose it on the rest of culture. It's creating a right that's based on someone's inner feeling or inner desire to be of a different sex than how they were born. And all it takes is for that individual to merely assert that at the time of entry, just say or even believe in their mind that they are of a different sex than they are, and that grants them access to the opposite sex facility. But once again, that never is the case when it comes to one being born black, and the constitutional rights that we've given based on race, not even just rights, but understanding that there is equal protection required for someone of the opposite sex can't be applied when an individual is claiming this civil right simply because they've chosen to be part of a group or chosen to assign themselves a different gender or different sex than how they were born.
Well, this is an important issue, and it's unfortunately not going to be going away anytime soon. So I just want to say thank you, Jonathan, for being on the program, for talking to our listeners, and the work that you're doing here and across the country.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nate, for having me.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you again to Jonathan Alexander, Director of Public Policy for Liberty Counsel, for being a part of the program today. And thank you to sponsor of the show, Walker Tire and Auto Service. For all your vehicle service and maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto at one of their four convenient locations throughout Omaha. As always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org or like NFA on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date on all the latest happenings pertaining to family, freedom, and life. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.